WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And all right, now a call in. For listeners who have questions about the travel ban on people hailing from the seven countries stated in President Trump's executive order, call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. The seven countries are Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Call us if you have questions about yourself or your family member or anyone you know and their ability to travel and what legal resources are available to you. Joining me now to answer your questions is Alan Wernick, professor of law at Baruch College and director of the CUNY Citizenship Now. Alan, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much, Brian. And it's been a rough weekend.
I guess so. And as calls are coming in, I'll start off with a couple of questions for you. We had that order on Saturday night from Brooklyn Federal District Court Judge Ann Donnelly that blocks part of the executive order, blocking the deportation of some people who are arriving in the U.S. with valid visas or refugee status. But the ruling doesn't allow these arrivals to actually enter the country. So is it your understanding that there are still people at JFK or elsewhere in limbo because the judge has stopped them from being deported but not guaranteed their entrance?
Yes, that is my understanding. I've heard that there are various reports, but the most recent report I got, there's about 12 people that are still detained at JFK. But I want to bring forward another problem that you've already addressed on your program today, but I think it's worth emphasizing, and that is that people who are non-immigrants who are abroad, they can't get on the airplanes. So even if a court in the United States would order the Border Patrol to admit people into the United States, if they can't get on the airplane, that's not going to be very helpful. And so, one of the problems with that is that historically the courts have been very reluctant to interfere with situations abroad. There's very limited access, of course, that the United States has to those issues, although there are ACLU and other organizations are looking into those, see what kind of litigation strategies they can develop, but I'm not optimistic. At CUNY, we take particular pride in our long history of, working with immigrants and helping immigrants, and I often am proud to say that I think CUNY is the most immigrant-friendly university in the country. But we have a situation where we have people. Fortunately, the Trump ban came very near the end of the winter break. So most of our students who would have been affected by the ban had already entered the United States, but not all. Today's the first day of classes. We had some people trying to come in after the ban. One of our students was made it to Dubai from Iran, but then was detained in Dubai and sent back to Iran because the airlines are not going to put somebody on a plane. And this is a longstanding policy in the relationship between the U.S. federal government and the airlines, is to not put on people on planes that are not going to be admitted to the United States. Because if they erroneously put people on planes, then the airline is responsible for paying their passage back to where they came from. So that's a real problem. I'm not sure what we're going to do about that. I think the solution needs to be a political solution. But like I said, I do know that the ACLU and other organizations are seeking legislative strategies. But you're absolutely correct. Now, I understand that in Boston, the federal court did order that the people be admitted into the United States for 7 days. enjoined the government from keeping people from coming in. So I'm not, I've been trying to find out this morning before this interview how that's going. I'm not, I was not able to track that information down, but I know that many people who have, who are able to get on planes are trying to go to Boston because they may have a better chance of entering there.
Allison in Little Compton, Rhode Island. You're on WNYC with Alan Wernick. Hello, Allison.
Hi. Thank you kindly for taking my call. My question is, I am an American citizen. I have American children. My husband is a permanent green card resident. I read in the paper yesterday in the New York Times that all green card, permanent resident green card people will have to consult their consulate if they want to travel out of the country. He is a business traveler.
I don't, my understanding of the press, of the Department of Homeland Security's clarification is that permanent residents will be exempt from the ban. However, it certainly would be, the cautious approach would be if people are abroad now in their permanent residence to be thinking carefully about being able to articulate their activities abroad so they don't arouse suspicion with the border officers. But to my knowledge, no permanent residents have been are presently being denied have been denied entry into the United States. As far as I know, all of them have been admitted. I don't have not heard anything about going to a consulate. I don't think that's necessary. If the person has a permanent resident visa, an immigrant visa, green card, they should be able to get on a plane and they should be admitted into the United States. They may have to go through what's called secondary inspection. And what that means is that when a person is going through inspection at the airport, if the officer has any questions that would require a longer interview than the typical interview that the traveler faces, they will take them into a room and question them. But as far as I know, people are being admitted who are permanent residents, even if they're from one of the seven banned countries.
Well, that's good to know. I certainly would hate to have him get stuck. His travels are usually in Europe. And I would miss him if he wasn't let back in.
I appreciate that.
And he will be happy to know that, as his wife, that you would miss him. He will be very happy to know that.
Thank you very much.
Is he abroad now?
No, but he has some pending trips coming up.
You know, I just keep reading the paper and following the information on social media. I think it's going to be okay for him to travel. My general statement, though, to people in your husband's situation is do only travel if it's necessary. You know, don't travel just to have a vacation somewhere in Europe. You know, if you have business or personal reasons to travel, then I think you should go ahead and go. But if I was a permanent resident, I'd be very reluctant to have to go through that secondary inspection. It can be quite unnerving.
Allison, thank you for your call and good luck to you and your family. Can you go a little more into that even, Alan, because there was so much confusion about this particular point, the status of green card holders who come originally from one of the seven countries or a green card holder from anywhere who even travels to one of the seven countries. Are they entirely safe unless something turns up that's suspicious about them as individuals somehow being linked to terrorism?
Well, that's what the Department of Homeland Security is telling us, and at this point, that is consistent with what I know about practice at the airports. Entirely safe is a very strong way of putting it. I wouldn't put it quite that strongly, but as I said, I do think that they can be comfortable if they do need to travel, that they should be able to travel and return. I was very shocked when the initial order came out that it included permanent residents. I was not shocked that there was an order that applied to non-immigrants, you know, visitors, international students. But permanent residents have already gone through a very thorough vetting, both either at the U.S. consulate abroad or in the United States if they applied for permanent residence here. And, of course, they are settled in the United States. Many of them, most of them were either sponsored by a family member or by an employer, well integrated in the United States, like the previous, like the caller said, the spouse of a U.S. citizen. So, but I think travel's okay. That's what we're telling our students: don't travel unless you have to. but if you're a permanent resident. But if you have to, you know, do the travel. One thing that I'm very impressed with and very proud of my colleagues in the bar is that there's been an amazing outpouring of support for these individuals who are having troubles at the airport.
Yes.
As the press has reported, you know, there's lawyers basically camping out at the airport. I am on, you know, what I'm following their activities on WhatsApp and other social media. And the problem is, you know, there's a legal fiction that when you're applying for entry at a border, even though you're physically on the earth of the United States of America, you haven't made an entry yet and you're not really here. So your rights are different until you cross that inspection at the airport. So they're not letting lawyers in to talk to people. You think this is the United States of America, right? You have a right to counsel, but you don't. And so what's happening is that the lawyers and the elected officials, I think, also have done a really amazing job, are trying to, you know, advocate with the Border Patrol about those individuals. But it's not like if I was there, I could go back and represent my client like I would be able to do if the person was in the United States. And that's an unfortunate understanding of the law that has been upheld by the courts up until this day. It's a legal fiction, and it's a fiction that ought to be done away with. But it is what it is for now.
Fiction, but fact in terms of it being declared by the court a restriction. So
you can get a phone call. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's great and it's heartwarming to see these pictures of these lawyers fanning out into international airports all over the country with signs on their chest that say lawyer in English and Farsi and Arabic. But the people who are detained, who really need their lawyer services, haven't gone through customs yet, haven't made it through customs. So the lawyers can't even get to them. So what's the point of being there?
Well, the point of being there is that Border Patrol has been allowing individuals to make phone calls using their cells. So if they call a relative who is at the gate, let's say in the, you know, at the airport waiting, they call the relative, then the relative can identify the attorney. There's also phone numbers that have been publicized from the in the New York State area by the governor's office. And I can give you that phone number for people who are detained or have concerns. And that number is 1-888-769-7243. We also have a CUNY. I just lost that number here. No, I have it now. I'm sorry. We have a CUNY, something called the CLEAR Project at the law school. And they have been doing a Herculean job of advocating on behalf of individuals in this situation. Their phone number is 718-340-4558. And I, like I said, I'm very proud of my colleagues in the bar for the advocacy that they're engaged in. Of course, and again, I have to say I'm very proud to be part of CUNY that is really going out. I've been on the phone and email with the chancery, with the various professors, with students all weekend. And you know, CUNY is all in to do what we can to help our students, staff, and faculty.
And we'll tweet out those phone numbers, folks, because I know they went by quickly on the air. We'll also give them out again if you want to get a pen, if you think that these are phone numbers that you could use, either the Cuomo hotline or the CUNY hotline, and we'll give them out in a couple of minutes and give you a chance to get a pen if these are numbers that you want to write down. Meanwhile, we are taking your phone calls with your questions. If you're seeking advice for yourself or anyone affected by the travel ban, for Alan Wernick, who runs CUNY Citizenship Now. He is a lawyer and an immigration expert. And Corey in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Corey.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, my question has two parts. Part one, I just changed my address from New Jersey to Pennsylvania, and then I did that also with my immigration court, and then I'm about to go ahead and apply for my citizenship. So, I'm kind of afraid now with all this ban and stuff and Muslim, should I just, get back, change it back to New Jersey because Pennsylvania voted for Donald Trump, or the law is still the law? I'm legally living here for quite a time now, and it is time for me to apply for citizenship. So like, that's part one of my question. Part two is a friend of mine who's in love with the Sudanese girls, but he's not from the one of the seven countries. He was planning to go there and get married and everything, but like, what is it now for a person who is a green card holder yet like need to be in one of this country to visit his loved one and coming back, if that will affect his entry back to the country or not? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Alan, two good questions.
Two very good questions. So I don't think you need to move. The U.S. Citizenship Immigration Service has been pretty consistent with its policies nationwide. I don't think you're going to get any better or worse service because the state you live in went for Trump or went for Clinton. And I think you should apply for citizenship as soon as possible. You know, the highest level of protection for a foreign-born person in the United States is to become a U.S. citizen. Now, there's always a concern that the Trump administration will try to do something to discourage or make it more difficult for individuals from certain countries to become citizens, but that would be very difficult them to overcome a court challenge. So I'm optimistic that if you apply for citizenship and you meet all the qualifications, you'll be able to become a U.S. citizen. Then, if you're a U.S. citizen, unless you renounce your citizenship, you cannot be deported, no matter what you do while you're here. In terms of visiting abroad, again, I just to repeat what I said before, I'm comfortable advising permanent residents who have a strong need or desire to travel abroad to do so. The problem is going to be that if he marries
this woman in Sudan,
he will file for a petition for her, and let's assume that everything goes smoothly. She will be granted an immigrant visa, and with him an immigrant visa, I'm hopeful, and again, this is an area that is not clear. It's one of the questions that the Trump administration pronouncements have not made clear, whether the consul will issue her that immigrant visa. I can't really answer that question now, but I would say go ahead and pursue it. You know, there's some authority in our law for a permanent resident or U.S. citizen who's in the United States be able to challenge an adverse decision that impacts a family member abroad. That is not a clear statement of where the law is, but I think it's a clear statement of where the law is going. And I think that my advice generally is people should pursue every possible avenue they have towards for themselves or for their family members. And then, if the government tries to interfere, you can see that we have lawyers all over the country. I don't know if you mentioned this on your program today, Brian, but, you know, there's been a huge influx of money into the ACLU. I heard this morning $20 million just over the weekend. These lawyers like the ACLU and other organizations are on the case, and they are going to do everything they can to push back against these Trump pronouncements. Right. So I would say let's go for it. You know, let's get married. File the petition. And by the way, it's CUNY Citizenship Now. We provide services to help people with these petitions for free, even if you come from New Jersey or Pennsylvania, if you come to our offices in New York City. You can find out more about that at our website at cuny.edu/citizenship now.
cuny.edu/citizenship now. And we'll continue in a minute with more advice for people who might be affected by the travel ban from Alan Wernick from CUNY Citizenship Now, 212-433-WNYC. Stay with us. WNYC, as we're taking your calls for advice, if you or someone you know might be affected by the Trump travel ban, for Alan Wernick, professor of law at Baruch College and director of CUNY Citizenship Now. We'll give out the hotline number that they provide, as well as the one that Governor Cuomo has set up, again, before the end of the program, which is just 8 minutes away. I want to ask a question from a listener that came in before you came on, before we go to another call. The issue was somebody who has joint Iraqi-Canadian citizenship. And Iraq is one of the countries, obviously, that's on the list for the travel ban, but Canada obviously is not. So can that person invoke their Canadian citizenship to gain entry?
Well, what I'm hearing is yes. But again, this is one of the questions that is still not 100% decided. If the person is abroad and they use their Canadian passport as Canadians, they do not need a visa to come to the United States. They should be able to get on the plane and be able to come to the United States. You know, one thing we're advising some of our students is if they can get to Canada, they may have better luck at a land border than they might have at the airport. Of course, we're not talking about sneaking in. Of course, we're talking about, you know, showing your visa and your documents at the border. But I would say
that otherwise, we'll have to build a wall across the northern border too.
Well, that's right, and I wonder about that. Of course, that's for a different show, Brian. But you know, the Canadian border is not nearly as well protected as the southern border, and we do have cases of people entering without inspection or entering unlawfully from Canada. So it's not going to be too easy, this Trump plan.
Mohammed in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mohammed.
Hi, Mr. Brian.
What's your question?
My question is, there's a rumor going around on social media about the green card holders, saying that, you know, the immigration at the airport are giving people some papers to sign. And that papers indicate that, you know, if you sign it, you waive your right to be a resident anymore, so they can deport you if they wish to deport you. Is it true or false? That's my question.
Can you debunk that as a rumor, Alan?
I have heard the same rumor. What the rumor is, as I understand it, is that either on the airplanes coming into the United States or at the airport, there's been an effort to ask permanent residents to withdraw their to renounce their permanent residence. And our advice, of course, don't sign anything. You have no obligation to sign such a document. And of course, you do so at your peril. They cannot compel you to do it. People have to, if they're going to travel in the United States as permanent residents, they just have to be strong about that. And if they stay strong, they will be admitted into the United States. But it's a good warning. I'm glad the caller called with that question.
Abdul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Abdul.
Hi, Brian. I have been granted asylum about 10 years ago. And I have been living in the country for almost 28 years. I have never traveled anywhere. So am I safe? Like, just even if I don't travel, am I safe with the documents I already have? I have been just granted asylum.
What country did you come from?
Afghanistan.
He's safe, Alan, right?
Well, let me just say, of course, Afghanistan's not on the list, but I think he's safe even if he was from one of the seven countries. A person who has asylum here in the United States has asylum, and there's nothing in the Trump orders that impact that status. But here's my advice. Why don't you become a permanent resident? You qualify. And, in fact, if you become unless you have a criminal record that would bar you, but if you qualify to become a permanent resident, if you qualify to become a U.S. citizen, they will backdate this is a general rule, not for you because you've been here 10 years. But for individuals who have been here 4 years, normally it takes 5 years, they will backdate your permanent resident approval 1 year. But become a permanent resident, then become a U.S. citizen, and then you'll feel more comfortable here in the United States. But as an asylee, I'm not worried about you.
Abdul, thank you very much. You know, we're just about out of time, but I think the last two callers that we got are a good representation of how the order is sowing so much fear and uncertainty, even among people who aren't subject to being restricted from the country. It's creating a tremendous amount of confusion, a tremendous amount of uncertainty, a tremendous amount of fear. And that's not to say it's right or wrong, but it's certainly one of the things that we should be aware of, right? That it's not just targeted precisely in a way that doesn't affect other people. We've heard so many stories throughout the morning of people who have gotten caught in this, who are completely innocent of anything. Alan, you've told us of some of your CUNY students who don't have green cards. I guess they're here on student visas, and they're trying to come home from break from one of those countries or come back to school from break from one of those countries, and they can't get in again right in the middle of their college studies. It's maybe even a broader net for all the effects that it's having on people than they intended it to be. Let me give out those two phone numbers again. The one that Governor Cuomo has set up for people seeking help or advice for their loved ones or themselves with a travel ban, 888-769-7243, 888-769-7243. And the one that Alan gave from CUNY, 718-340-4558, 718-340-4558. And Alan Wernick from CUNY Citizenship Now, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with our listeners.
Thank you so much, Brian.